Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 50. And Luke writes, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God." When I prepare lessons, I look at a lot of different things, read a lot of things in order to try to clarify certain things. And I read this one article, actually a thought, that goes very well and applies very well to the lesson tonight. I have no idea who wrote it. But it says, sometimes God closes doors because it is time to move forward. He knows you won't move unless your circumstances make you move. Trust the transition. God's got you. Beginnings are usually scary, and endings are usually sad. Brand new parents for the very first time are petrified. We have no idea how we're going to raise this child. Will I do a good job or will I completely flub it up? By the time the second one comes along, we got this. The second one usually gets the cookies and ice cream at a younger age than the first one, because we usually try to get the first one on a healthy start. We realize that we sacrificed an awful lot in that first one by not having the cookies and the ice cream in the house. The reason I say this is that transitions are not easy for a lot of people. And truthfully, a good number of people really don't care much for change. About 2 years ago, our local food line decided they were going to change everything around. Before, I could go into the store and know exactly what aisle I needed to walk to get whatever I'm wanting. Today, I'm walking up and down the aisles trying to read the signs. Who in their right mind would put coffee and stuff in with the sodas? I have no clue. It makes absolutely no sense. I didn't like the change, and I'm still not used to it. But we all resist change. How do you feel if you have to sit in a different pew on Sunday than what you're accustomed to? You feel like you've walked into another church building. It seems really strange. Luke ends the account of Jesus in the gospel with the ascension. And he begins the account in the book of Acts also with the ascension. For Luke, the ascension of Christ is what ties heaven and earth. And just because it was one of those momentous occasions does not mean that it was an easy occasion for the disciples. Luke ends his gospel on a high note. But he starts the book of Acts with a question mark. And it seems strange in that Luke wrote both accounts. But he does help us see the importance of the ascension. Here we are 36 days past the resurrection. The Bible tells us that Jesus ascended into heaven on the 40th day. And so with this timeline, we are really close to what had happened. But this evening, what I would like us to do is to see the importance of this event. But more importantly, exactly what does this event mean to us? While we normally talk about the ascension through the writings in Acts chapter 1, I'd like us to go back in Luke and to look into Luke chapter 24 for a moment and look at a key word that we find there. The text that I read uses the word blessed three times in four verses. For the Jewish community, the blessing from Aaron to the people was still important. Let's look at Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Many of us are very familiar with these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Sadly, the things that Jesus said in Luke 24 and verse 50 and 53 is not recorded. The in-between the lines, the blessings. There are some commentators out there who think that it was a prayer of John 17. But we just truly do not know. And because it's not written, evidently it was not meant for us to know exactly. But what is important is that twice Luke calls it a blessing. Jesus has called his disciples to a greater faith. Jesus challenged Peter to consider what it means to love him. We've seen Jesus' call to his disciples to make more disciples. And now we see Jesus blessing these men. We know the term. We know the meaning of the word, but sometimes exactly what a blessing means escapes us. But it carries with it the idea of seeking God's protection or to empower, to comfort someone by invoking God's presence in a life. But whatever Jesus did with these blessings here, it was for their benefit. The end result for us is the account of Acts chapter 2. And the following, we find the disciples back at the temple, blessing God and teaching about Christ. It was at this point then that these men began to do the very thing that they were commissioned to do, to go and make disciples. But if the great blessing was Jesus anointing these men, what blessing is there for us today? Luke also gives us that answer. He records it in verses 9 through 11 of Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Part of that blessing for us today is the promise that Jesus will come back, that he is going to come back and take us home. But those things have not happened yet. And yet we look forward to that second advent, if you will, that second coming. It'll be that time where every eye will see, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And hopefully it is that blessing we read of in those passages that allow us to continue moving forward. You see, the ascension not only is about a second return, it is also about what it means for us this very moment. You see, in John 16 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, the apostles' anointing was a lot different than ours. The gift of the Holy Spirit is ours because Christ went away. This is what Peter makes clear in Acts chapter 2 in verses 38 and 39. When Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call." We're the afar off. That gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Word, is that gift to us. Now, for some, that idea of the Holy Spirit abiding in us can be a little frightening if we don't truly understand what that means. God's Word lives in our hearts. That's the whole idea. Not something that has taken complete possession of our body. We allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us when we obey. And it is that constant battle between the Holy Spirit and our human spirit that causes us so many issues sometimes. We don't truly always 100% give it all over to the Holy Spirit and God's Word to guide our steps. And yet Paul calls us to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, that we are not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, because the blessing of Christ is that gift from God to us through the Spirit. And while there are a lot of blessings that we could talk about this evening, I want to talk about the one that most of us appreciate, though we don't often think about it every day. And that is that Jesus Christ is our mediator. This idea is expressed in two different ways in the New Testament. One is that we pray in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ. We see Jesus as our mediator in our prayers. He is the only one who has experienced what it means to be both God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first six verses. Paul writes, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. The reason that Jesus mediates our prayers is because he mediates our covenant. He is our go-between. God had a dispute with us because of sin. That sin is the rebellion against God, and God, as we know, hates sin, regardless of little ones or big ones. It separates us from him. And what Jesus does is mediate a new covenant in his blood to pay the price for our sin. We cannot do anything to fix our sin problem, because Jesus ascended to heaven and is seated at the Father's right hand. He has mediated for us. Barney said it very well in class this morning, that come judgment day, we have one who is going to gather us up because we are his children. We will probably get one of those quick passes. You've been to Disney World? To get to the head of the line, because we're his. And he will stand for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer says, and for this cause he is made the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And as powerful as this is, I want to look at the ending verses, verses 27 and 28. And it is appointed to all men once to die. After this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Our mediator, Jesus Christ, stands between God and us. He is the one that sets us free from the law of sin. He's the one that sets us free from death. Because he mediates for us a new covenant in his blood. Why is this ascension so important to us? Because it is the great blessing that began that day with those men. And it was extended to us through the Holy Spirit. And it sees its fullness as Christ gives us access to God. And one day, he will come back again and take us home. And for true Christians, that day cannot come soon enough. Jesus' ministry began with a 40-day fast in the wilderness, time of the temptation by Satan, and his last 40 days teaching the kingdom of God and the blessings that will come. Then Jesus was lifted up in a cloud, and the angel said, Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go. And that will be the most glorious day in the history of this world. If you are not a child of God, this evening we want to give you that opportunity. God's blessings, the blessings that Jesus Christ has bestowed because of his ascension, can be placed on you. Repentance, confession, New Testament baptism, you can become that child of God. You can become the person that God wants you to be. And your mediator at the day of judgment will be Jesus Christ. And if you are a child of God and you need our prayers for whatever reason, maybe you have lost sight of your goal in this life as a child of God, and you want to have these things restored, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?